a lesson from them. Now tune in to Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. 3.5 hours of in-your-face, on-the-streets news, views, and protests. We fight back against gentrification, civil rights violations, and the criminalization of the poor. Stay with us.
Downtown, when you're brown on a Friday night. Well, downtown plays Russian roulette with you, that's right. I said downtown, when you're brown on a Friday night, plays Russian roulette with you. But not with a second-hand Saturday night special, nah. Downtown plays Russian roulette with a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capulero that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough Cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. You see, downtown when you're brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown! Sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out Impalas and cherried out mini trucks as the cat calls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara streets, and beautiful Latinos strut 5 or 6 deep in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifixes in the rear mirror. Downtown when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone. Downtown, downtown when you're brown on a Friday night is no place to be, because SJPD will pull you over for being downtown and brown and for no other reason. And you will find yourself at the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by 4 police cruisers, while 2 bigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a 3rd one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you, oh shit, look out downtown, but somewhere, someone's getting arrested for being brown and down.
Thank you, Greedo Superintino, for downtown. Now, of course, in Santa Cruz, don't get too many brown people downtown at all. You get lots of young people, and I guess they're going to be moving them on from the Hippie Planter Pacific Garden Mall's, Pacific Concrete Mall's New Leaf Market area, where Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe are allowing themselves to be used in a redevelopment agency scheme to privatize the sidewalk between those two green kiosks downtown and set up a wrought iron fence that will block off the area, similar to the way you have areas blocked off in front of Pizza My Heart, but actually sort of more like Zoccoli's down the mall a bit, if you're familiar with the Pacific Mall. A lot of us feel that that's not the way to go. If you have behavioral problems with the young people there, the thing to do is to talk to them, perhaps an organized series of discussions, I proposed a code of conduct, but all these have been ignored in a kind of a behind-the-scenes process being conducted by the Downtown Association, the police department, and ultimately the city council through the redevelopment agency. And that is, unfortunately, what we're stuck with. On January 8th, they passed resolutions directing the redevelopment agency to come up with a proposal to fence off the area. They did. They rejected planters, wooden planters, such as are used at Zoccoli's down the mall, down toward the Veterans Hall, saying that they were damaged too easily, so they're going to use the wrought iron fence approach. I guess they're not going to use razor wire at the moment, which is nice, but the idea just doesn't appeal to me. And I think that before we privatize more of the mall for the benefit of two businesses, and actually it's not for those businesses it's really being done, I think that there is a specific concern with gentrifying that area and removing young people there. And that the opening of the Del Mar Theater nearby on February 8th, which happened, and I guess will be happening officially in early March. Let's have a big protest, folks. Let's all be down there letting those patrons express their view. Baker, Lieutenant Patty Sapone, City Attorney George Cavas. Supposedly on public spaces, but I guess we're being reminded that these aren't really public spaces. It isn't really your constitution. It's not a public constitution or a public sidewalk. It's a private constitution for the benefit of those who have money and power and political influence. And that, unfortunately, we had hoped was something we were trying to struggle to avoid in Santa Cruz. But, of course, it's happening everywhere, and that's why we must fight it here where it happens. 96.3 FM is what you're... and Zoe Einbinder, that's way back on January 30th, and you get to hear her screams. You can actually judge whether, as you may have read in the Good Times last Thursday, it was all a staged and contrived and confused event, as reporter Krista, I think her name is, claimed. Let me grab that paper. Here we go. And we actually have this is the earlier Good Times, unfortunately. We actually have a individual here to comment on that. Of course, it may be that I don't have the appropriate documents off in the way here, but I think I'm going to get lucky. I think I actually have the Good Times somewhere. So the issue a lot of this program is going to be focused on is, and some feel it's too narrow an issue. Some feel that we are losing our public support. That is to say, we being HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and activists concerned with things like the sleeping ban, by focusing so intensely on this issue of sort of the rights of freedom of association and the public space area for the few individuals who are, and some of them are regulars, and some of them don't have the best manners, and there are incidents that happen there. So what are we doing defending people having a right to congregate in this space? People who often are many times the same faces down there. Well, I mean, we've talked about this a bit before. I mean, the short answer is they're public spaces. People get to use them. If individuals are abusing them, there are laws currently on the books that can be used to address these issues. And indeed, lots of police harassment is going on down there to do that. But they want total control. See, they want the right to order people to leave. It's sort of like the kinds of gang-related stuff that they've been able to foist on populations of other cities using the menace of gangs. They've got these, actually there's a statute in Santa Cruz, loitering with intent to sell drugs, which is If you are loitering in a drug zone, you can be charged with loitering with intent to sell drugs, even if you haven't got any drugs on you, even if there's no clear evidence that you were doing so. I've actually met individuals who were charged with that. One of those zones was across from New Leaf Market. This was several years ago, and I'm not quite sure what the status of this law is now. It expired in Berkeley. There was a local code, Proposition N, it was called. And again, the use of the war on drugs, like the war on terrorism, to increase and amplify police power, usually at the behest of wealthy or merchant or mercantile or commercial interests downtown and in other parts of the city, is pretty evident. So, I think what we'll do here to begin with is make a few announcements for those who like such things, and those who don't, hold on, we can zip through them. This is a radio program that happens twice a week, Sundays from 10 to 1:30, and Thursdays from 6 to 8 in the evening. We're first broadcast on 96.3 FM, and we also stream on the web at www.microradio.net/FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Anything I say on the air, if you haven't caught it and you want me to repeat it, you can call the Huff line. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and the number, remember, is fairly easy, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. The Huff line has some information and updates that people can find useful, even though they're a little, I don't want to say out of date. It was recorded a week or two ago, but since things have not substantially changed on a number of issues, they're still relevant and timely. 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call. You can leave a message for me there and for other Huff members. You can also assist in this campaign to keep the sidewalks open to the public, specifically to stop the social, age, and economic profiling that's really going on down there. And they're saying that because these people have this certain profile, they are to be targeted. It's not that there's specifically bad behavior of particular individuals, or, you know, those individuals would be, you know, observed and watched and noted. No, it's the behavior of, it's the presence of a group of people that they just want gone. And that's what we're going to be doing in terms of encouraging the community to express its view, because it wasn't allowed really to do that in a public process, down there today. And I'm actually going to be, if people want me to, I'm going to hold a couple of civil rights seminars or a Know Your Rights forum, a Know Your Rights workshop, I guess the right word is. And if folks are interested, we can talk about what kind of rights you do have when the police officer arrives, and how should you behave, and can he take your backpack, and can he force you to look inside, and what are the consequences of saying, of asserting those rights? It's not always, you know, maybe you might have the right to assert a right, but is it prudent to do that at a certain circumstance, particularly in a hot-button zone? And it's also true that a lot of the folks who are there just want to be left alone, like homeless people. They're not interested in changing the world directly. They need to survive and grow and find out what's going on, open their eyes and try their wings before they can make those larger decisions. Though, indeed, some people are politically active down there. And so sometimes what we're doing is regarded by some of them as, drawing heat to the area, although the heat has been drawn pretty much before, and people recognize that, and in fact we're getting mostly, almost invariably favorable support. Young people there help us distribute leaflets to other people, encouraging protests by phone, by email, and in-person notes to New Leaf Market, Sushi Now, Alibaba's Cafe, the Redevelopment Agency, the Downtown Hosts, the Downtown Association, and the City Council. And you can get those forms down at the Huff table, which will be down there around 2 o'clock today. And again, this is really sort of only one of the many Huff projects we have. In fact, we have too many projects. We're going to be talking about those projects as we go. And also, we're going to be doing some analysis of the news media. In fact, I have an expert in the studio who is going to do that analysis once he gets the story, which unfortunately we don't have with us. But we want to get the actual story in the studio so we can refer to it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Jeff, who's going to be coming on soon, hopefully, like in about half an hour, we'll be running this down to us. We'll be talking about how did the Good Times cover a serious First Amendment violation by the police department? And, of course, we know how they covered it. But we'll be talking about that they covered it as a lampoon and a satire, and it was Robert Norris posturing and posing, that's me, and just creating a big scene for, who knows, maybe he's secretly has a contract with CNN and he's going to draw them in. Actually, it would be nice if the national media took an interest in the kind of crap that's going on in Santa Cruz, because that ultimately discourages businesses from doing this kind of nonsense. At least, that's my hope. So, you can also phone into this show to tell us what you think. We have an open phone line here, one, and sometimes it's occupied, but when it's not, you can call. Like, for example, right now, it's free, 427-3772. 427-FRSC is the number to call if you want to be on the air with me. You may not agree with what I say. Yesterday, KSCO had a long show, 2 hours from 10 to 12 in the morning, a fourth of which was taken up denouncing me by name for this kind of campaign to stop gentrification and the kind of social and ethnic cleansing. It's not really ethnic, it's more youth and economic cleansing going on downtown, and the profiling that's also involved here. And, of course, that issue wasn't discussed at all. It was all, you know, who is this rich kid with a trust fund wandering around doing all these bad things, and nobody respects him, nobody cares about him, he's a bummer, and so forth. Which is fine, but we didn't get into the issue, so maybe, I mean, I was going to suggest the KSCO listeners tune into Free Radio, where we actually discuss the issues rather than simply attack people. I will attack the politicians quite clearly. We had on the air yesterday, KSCO had Michael Rotkin, your revolving door council member, who I can almost assure you is coming back for another round at the city council dais so he can do some more of his good work on us. It also had Ken Cole, the head of the Homeless Services Center, the token liberal in the crowd, who wasn't liberal enough to talk about the criminalization of the homeless at all. Not one syllable did he say, although he did at one point dispute Michael Rotkin's claim that we are a really fine city in terms of the social services we provide, which we're not. And he pointed out that that wasn't accurate. There are other cities that did better, as we all know, many, in fact. And there were also many gaps that had to be dealt with and that weren't being dealt with. But in general, you didn't hear him defending the rights of homeless people downtown or in other places. He was just tisking and tut-tutting away with the other. The third person was a bigot from Scotts Valley, I believe, or Felton, who was just spending his time attacking the dirty bums. And hosting this whole thing was Michael Zwirling, who is the head of KSCO. In the old days, he used to give occasionally he would give equal time to homeless advocates, perhaps because it embarrassed the Santa Cruz City Council downtown, who he opposed. Now, they spent their time trashing me without inviting me on the air and not inviting any real spokespeople about what's going on downtown, so that was obviously simply a hostile smear job going on, and that's fine. That's sort of par for the course. Later in the show, I'm going to play a segment from that show to illustrate how establishment media and establishment politicians and bureaucrats, and Ken Cole is an example of an establishment bureaucrat, avoid issues and how they twist them, spin them, and turn them and don't deal with what I consider to be, at least in this county, real issues. We have a caller.
Hi there, first caller.
Hi there, Robert. Bernard.
Hey, Bernard.
I listened to that show in distress yesterday. That show still has me sick. And one of the first criticism I have, Robert, is of you.
Oh, dear.
You consenting to do an 8-minute interview with Rosemary. She was not, she didn't even have the pretension, you know, of any kind of neutral, you know, journalism. I mean, she was totally thrashing you. She had no, she had no objective of trying to bring out any, you know, of the issues other than your trust fund. And,
what trust fund? Never mind.
You know, your trust fund.
Oh, right.
And what I'd like to say to you, I really criticize you for giving that interview. You gave your power away.
Well, let me tell you what actually I think came out of that interview. First of all, it's the first time anywhere on any media you've heard the word boycott. The Sentinel has studiously avoided the word boycott. Even, and I think the Good Times finally came out with a mention of the word boycott in its article. I got to check that over. But this was an opportunity to let the public know that there was a boycott going on of Sushi Now, Alibaba's Cafe, and New Leaf Market on an establishment channel. I mean, if they want to attack me, that's fine. I mean, that's
why is it fine?
It's because, I mean, they're going to do it no matter what the issue is. But if we can get the issue out there anyway, in essence, we let them kind of, it's a form of jujitsu. They do their smear stuff to their establishment group, which, you know, loves to hear it. We're not going to convince them of anything, but there are going to be other people who will suddenly learn, oh, there's a boycott of sushi now, and Alibaba's Cafe, and New Leaf Market. That's interesting. Oh, they don't like this guy. Why are they so concerned about this guy? Why is he such a problem? You know, where there's smoke, there must be fire in some way. In other words, when the politicians and the establishment figures get all upset and start screaming and screaming, I think intelligent people start saying, wait a minute, what's really going on here? And, you know, I think some of them can look past that, but you have to know that that's happening in the first place, and many people don't, and they don't listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz. So that's one way of getting the message out.
Well, I don't think you had much fertile ground to get your message out. I had a trouble, you know, hearing your message. However, on another note in that program, Scott Kennedy calls.
Oh, dear.
And he trashed you, too. I mean, most of the program was about trashing you,
mm-hmm.
but he went on to say, well, you know, you don't represent the views of the homeless people. Well, he doesn't neither. And also is that that homeless people really don't have their own independent political organization, you know, in this city.
Yeah, unlike Kennedy and...
Why don't you let me finish.
Go ahead.
You know, the point I'm going to make is, you know, so Ken, you know, he said, the problem is that nobody really represents the voice, you know, of homeless people because they don't have their own independent, you know, organization. So, you know, I thought he was kind of really out to lunch that, but he, you know, he trashed you because he says nobody, you know, agrees with him on any of the issues. Well, most homeless people that I've talked to, you know, do want the sleeping ban, you know, to go. So, I don't know. I don't think Kennedy is really, really being very fair, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you accusing Scott Kennedy of not being fair?
Yes, I am.
How can you say such a thing? He's
well,
our council member. He's the co-founder of the Resource Center for Nonviolence.
He doesn't tell the truth when it comes to homeless issues.
Kennedy gave up on civil rights for homeless people and on a fair representation of their issues years ago. That's the point with him. And he did that, I believe, because he believed he needed to form an alliance with the businesses. And every so often you see these little guilt pangs that he has when he offers to open up his backyard and then his wife says, no, you can't, as happened in 1996. Or you'll see him saying, you know, suddenly moving to stop Rodkin from establishing new laws to move on musicians when Tom Noddy and I stand up and say, let's let the street performers guidelines work and work on this. And we actually got them to stop that back in 1996. And he occasionally comes forward with things like, let's consider, you know, a winter armory exception back in 1996, which he and Celia Scott and Catherine Byers tried to put forward and Rodkin squashed. But in the main, and of course you saw it with his Camp Paradise proposal, which he sponsored with Premac, and, you know, that was sort of an original attempt. It seemed, although people warned me, this is political posturing by Kennedy. If it looks like it's going to succeed, he'll back away from it. And that is what's happened, not that it's going to succeed. He's backed away from it. I mean, I think, you know, you hear him, Larry Templeton called in. He was,
I know. Larry got trashed, too.
And
really, really bad. I hope that'll radicalize Larry, but I don't know.
No, Larry didn't trash me. He was
no,
trashed.
No, no,
he
I
was,
said the
was
people
trashed.
On the show did.
People trashed Larry on the show.
Right. But one thing they keep saying, which Larry has not come to your defense, they keep saying, you know, that he, well, it was Kennedy, that, or Rot, it was Rottengen. Rottengen says, you know, that Camp Paradise is, you know, is kicked you out. You know,
no, that's not
that.
True. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of falsehoods that are spread, but see, the problem is even talking about this on this station when we don't have the tape and other people haven't heard it is kind of, you know, dredging up these, you know, nonsensical statements that are made because they're concerned. They don't like these issues being raised, so they're screaming at me. You know, that's a chance for them to try to avoid the issues. Well, we're not going to avoid the issues. We're going to keep going at the issues, and I hope that you'll be down there today doing some tabling.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, yes, I'll still try to, even though I feel de-empowered by listening to that program, I feel sick. I won't give up struggling.
I mean, actually, I was not interviewed for that program, by the way. I was interviewed as a news blurb the day before.
So you didn't know that they were going to do
No, I didn't know. I mean, I knew he. I was told that they were going to do a program the next day, but not that this was going to be played on that program. It was actually played in the morning before.
Well, I hope you won't make the same type of mistake.
I don't think it was a mistake. I mean, actually, I thought of calling into the show. I didn't hear all the show, but I heard some of it, and I thought of calling in, and I realized. I actually talked to the producer of the show, the owner of the station, Mike Zwirling, afterward, and I told him that if he wants to have, you know, I told him about Camp Dignity Village and effective encampments like Camp Paradise that are still in existence in other cities and have been supported by the city for a year and so forth. And if he wants to have that on the show, I would be happy to be, you know, to bring that stuff to his attention and be on the show, or even be on the show talking local issues, provided I have an adequate opportunity to reply. But, you know, the kind of ambush bigotry that was going on there was not really something I felt like walking into, though I thought about it later, and I thought it might have been appropriate to call in, if even though I hadn't heard the whole thing, just to raise the issue again, that to point out to them that you guys are not talking about the privatization of the sidewalks. You're not talking about the harassment of young people downtown. All your, you know, and I want the public to know that. That's all really I've got to say, and you can spend your next half hour talking about me, but I want the public to note you're not talking about the issues. And that's, of course, the reality of it. And I think, you know, why point out the obvious six times? Once is good, and twice is maybe better, but three times gets a little tiresome, so.
Okay, I'll hang up.
Hey, thanks there, Bernard.
You're welcome.
Keep up the good work.
Well, it's 96.3, phone line 427-3772, and we're open, waiting for you to give a call. It looks like that mad fiddler has fiddled his way back into the studio. Well, he's got the good times. He's pouring through it looking for the incriminating articles. Again, notice we don't want to get too reactive here. I mean, the fact that KSCO rants about the homeless and supports businesses downtown who want to eliminate the young people from the hippie planter area, they're going to do that. They want to do that. Our job is to reach out to the broader community and say, look, there are better solutions than these exclusionary police state type tactics, than privatization, turning things over to businesses whose agenda is making money and doesn't involve a lot of other aspects of community life. I mean, it's not that we don't need businesses. We do, and they have their rights. They certainly should and do. And when they're violated, we should be concerned as when private individuals' rights are violated. You know, that could be bad. It is bad. However, what's happening here is gentrification. What's happening here is the redevelopment agencies getting rid of a bunch of people. And it's been done throughout Santa Cruz history in the last decade, starting with the destruction of the red brick planters. I'm actually going to be playing this segment that Bernard feels disempowers, so you can make up your own mind. In fact, I may even have it, and we'll probably be queuing it up pretty soon. But give us your own thoughts, 427-3772. My concern about the whole activist focus on the hippie planter is that it may be taking away from the broader sleeping ban issue or other issues. I don't really think it is. I think that, you know, this is there's some who disagree with me, and then they actually called, one or two of them called into the KSCO show yesterday suggesting that, you know, they disagree with me on this issue, that the businesses have their rights and the young people should go somewhere else, and what if I brought down 50 people, you know, they wouldn't let me hang out on the sidewalk with 50 people. I've never observed young people driving away individuals who come to that area. Though no doubt there have been individual times, there's macho harassment of women that happens everywhere on the mall, and it's not good that it happens. It's not good that it happens in any American city, but it happens. It's true. But, I mean, as a person who's been there for a couple hours a day, for two or three days a week for the last three or four weeks, I have not observed, you know, particularly bad behavior. But actually, it's pretty well-behaved behavior for such a large group of people. And the idea that it's bad to have a large group of people on the sidewalk, I think, is wrong. I think that's a vital part, you know, of the city. I'd like to see more people on the sidewalk elsewhere in the city as well. So that's an issue we're going to be talking about. And, well, maybe we should do a little talking about it now. I've got an article here, Staged and Confused, from The Good Times. And it's got three pictures of Zoe Joy Einbinder, who we're going to hear a tape of later, being arrested by Sergeant Butchie Baker. I actually got back the tape from the police department after they copied it, which they seized from me at Hippie Planter, after they took me off in handcuffs for an infraction, mind you. Normally, you're not supposed to have a custodial arrest for an infraction. I didn't fail to identify myself. I gave them my driver's license. It was gratuitous punishment by Sergeant Baker, who wanted to you know, assert his control over the area and punish me personally. That's my view. He doesn't like what I write about him. He doesn't like what I'm doing. He spends a lot of time and energy doing this kind of stuff, and he apparently spent hours surveilling the scene to show, in his view, that I was blocking the sidewalk with this table, which I wasn't. It was in the same place it's been for the last 3 or 4 weeks. You might have thought he would come over and say to me, gee, we think you're blocking the sidewalk. Can you move the table? And I probably would have said, sure. You know, maybe not. Then he would have had a cause for saying, okay, well, then we're going to arrest you. You won't block it. You know, there would have been an issue there. I would have said no. He would have said yes. At least he would have tried. But he was clearly interested in engaging in punitive, intimidating behavior that suited the merchant, Matisse Selman, the owner of Sushi Now, who filed the original complaint. And Baker is also seems to be a friend or at least a patron of Sushi Now. He eats there. He double-parked his squad car there the other day on the street, blocking traffic on the corner, to sit with a CSO eating at Sushi Now. And I kind of pointed this out rather loudly to the community as it was going on, and not to disturb his breakfast, but to let people know that, you know, the $30 or $40 an hour he gets for that kind of work, it's being spent at, you know, at local businesses. And that's fine, but why is his squad car parked, double-parked in the street? And, you know, why is he using this as a surveillance point in uniform? I don't know. I mean, it smacks to me of private security guard kind of activity by public officials. The whole thing, again, is the privatization of a service we thought was public. We thought the sidewalks were public. Nope, they're not. We thought the police department was a public service. Well, some of us naively did. Nope, it's actually not just differentially helps businesses. It sits around in the business cafes, eats there, and double parks next to the businesses. I mean, come on. This is a, I suppose this is an eye-opener for a lot of us, and that's good. The article in the Good Times is really the first discussion of this in any length, and it does mention Boycott Sushi Now and the nearby Alibaba's Cafe, though it doesn't mention that New Leaf Market is also being boycotted. And again, the boycott is not sort of some militant union-type activity designed to relegate these businesses to bankruptcy. That's not the point. The point is to send a message to these merchants and to New Leaf Market and to the other city agencies that are, you know, collaborating in this effort, colluding or conspiring, if you will, even. Goodness. I mean, we're in the war against terrorism. We should have a war against terrorism against the poor as well. At least, let's say, a peace movement against terrorism, you know. So the message is not to kill these businesses, but to educate them. And unfortunately, you got to get their attention first. And, you know, as LBJ said, you grab them by the balls, and their hearts and minds will follow. Businesses listen to the economic issue. And unfortunately, I went first to Matisse and Ali, whom I know, and actually I was friends with, at least with Matisse, and on amiable terms with Ali. We have many disagreements. I don't like the way he treats street people, but there you are. And they initially agreed to possibly consider some consensual guidelines instead of this wrought iron fence that they're going to put up. But no, that was ignored in the emails, and they never responded to that. I'm actually going to have those guidelines down at the Hippie Planner today, and you'll be able to read them yourself and see what you think of. I mean, they're just rough guidelines, and I'm open to suggestions from other members of the community, merchants, even city council members, you know, or even police officers are welcome to give input. Certainly Matisse and Ali and the New Leaf Market folks are also welcome, because I'm interested in seeing these problems worked out, not essentially removed by a decree that these sidewalks are only usable for people with money. You know, that's wrong. I mean, that's just, I don't like that. Anyway, as I said, this article, The Good Times, talks about the arrests, and I think what I'm going to do, rather than read this whole thing, which you have an access to, The Good Times is available free everywhere, I'm going to let my co-host here, who's also running around grabbing tapes and getting Good Timeses and getting more exercise than I do in a week, to kind of give his analysis, if he's ready. Fiddler Jeff, are you ready to do some analyzing here? What's the story? Let's see. Are you up for that?
Actually, Robert, I would categorize this as schlock pseudo-journalism, and I don't think it really requires a great deal of analysis to see what Krista's doing.
Now, we're talking about Krista Martin's article in the Good Times, Staged and Confused, Drama Intensifies at Downtown Hippie Planter. And just to give you the flavor of it, welcome to the popular new soap opera, daytime soap opera, Pacific Avenue. It's capturing as many fans as Lex did in Survivor Africa. This, too, is a reality show. It takes place on location at the popular hangout in front of the New Leaf Market in downtown Santa Cruz. The hot spot has spawned a wave of controversies swirling around the newly coined hippie planter. And it ends with, however, neither Norse nor Einbinder were officially arrested, which isn't true. Lieutenant Patricia Saponi of the Santa Cruz Police Department confirms that Norse was cited for blocking the sidewalk, cited half an hour later at the police station after being released from being held in handcuffs in the squad car. Tensions between police and loiterers in the area have risen after numerous complaints from business owners and passers-by, some who have claimed being harassed by the group. Canned classical music has also been piped into the scene. It's a stupid way to drive away the rats, Penna said. Thank you. But it keeps the drama alive in downtown Santa Cruz. So there's kind of all kinds of bigotry interwoven in here and schlock, as you put it, Jeff. But why don't you go ahead and give me your analysis?
Well, it's truly reprehensible, and it's quite a serious problem when these so-called alternative news media, which it's really not, it's really just a, what do they call it, cockroach capitalism? It's just a small fry version of big media. It's really truly reprehensible that there's no mention of the central news event, which was there was a totally illegal police action that was in essence an attack on the First Amendment. Instead, what we have offered up here is really a comedy, lampoon, satirical opinion piece. And it's ironic that it's under a banner that says news. It's not news. This is an opinion piece. Welcome to the popular new daytime soap opera. So I would challenge the editors of Good Times, and I would challenge Krista Martin, if they want to do, you know, National Lampoon-type satires and make fun of battered women, they should at least have the integrity not to call it news. Call it opinion.
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, Good Times has a lot of that. And primarily, Good Times is sort of a an advertising filler, which gives you the times of different bands that are playing and things of that sort and coupons to clip out. Although I was struck with the quality of Good Times last week or the week before when they did this lengthy story, I guess Laurel Chesky did, on the successful lawsuit of Cassandra Brown and Amy Courtney. I really was impressed with that. I've also been impressed with Jessica Lloyd Rogers' journalism around Camp Paradise, which she continues to update while the rest of the media have ignored the issue completely, and I appreciate that in her and in Good Times. And indeed, Good Times actually mentioned the way back when I was protesting and effectively and successfully protesting the farmers markets attempt to do the same thing, exclude petitioners. They went after a tabler, they went after they arrested me twice. And I was actually taken away in handcuffs once, and if you want to use Lieutenant Saponi's distinction, cited once. But it's actually an arrest, because an arrest means you're not free to go. You are being held. And I was arrested, but I was actually given a custodial arrest, which means taken into custody, again, by Sergeant Butchie Baker at the farmer's market, again, for the same reasons. And the way the Good Times covered it then, I mean, they didn't do a terribly good job, but the issue got out that there was concern that it wasn't just, you know, that there were issues of the right of people to gather there, and that I was arrested there. You know, I mean, actually, as I remember it, it seems less positive than I first thought. But the issue is the First Amendment issue. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I will give the Good Times report credit for making two points that I won't disagree with. She basically opens the article by pointing out that Robert's diligent tabling, supported by many other people, of course, has spawned a wave of controversy. I don't have a problem with that. She's also pointed out that this, what she calls soap opera, what I call a very important fundamental First Amendment issue of whether we're going to ban political speech in the city of Santa Cruz or whether we're going to have political speech as guaranteed by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But at any rate, the article in Good Times does say that this has captured as many fans as Lex did in Survivor Africa. And that's humorous, but is possibly true. I don't know if the perils of Zoe Joy have quite captured the same audience as Survivor Africa. But, you know, I don't have a problem with the humor piece. I don't have a problem with people poking fun of Robert. I do so myself on occasion. And that's all fine and good. But what's truly a concern is that this is clearly an illegal action by the officers. You can't just trump up an obstructing sidewalk charge when the sidewalk itself is 25 feet wide. And there are also provisions in the Santa Cruz Municipal Code which specifically authorize tabling. It's in the code. It says right there, you're allowed to have a table as long as it's not bigger than a certain dimension. So if any good judge will toss those tickets out immediately. And another thing that's alarming, is that it really looks like Krista's manufacturing reality here. She says that the incident started with noise and shouting from the crowd, which sounds as though there was some sort of breach of peace, which caused the officers to appear on the scene. That's not how the incident started at all. The incident started with some verbal interchange from the officers, which led to this illegal ticket. And then the shouting started as this woman was basically being roughed up. So that's just factually inaccurate. And also, the reporter's quoting Mr. Will Penn, who was formerly a Santa Cruz English teacher. I don't know what the circumstances of his departure from the education system were, but at any rate, he's no longer a teacher. And this person spun out their own totally unsubstantiated, really, take on the whole matter, and it's being presented almost as if there was some factual basis because the person threw in a few clever little wisecracks. The thing that's disturbing to me is that these are wisecracks at the expense of the First Amendment, and these are wisecracks at the expense of someone who is apparently subjected to excessive police force. Zoe weighs probably 110 pounds. Officer Baker is quite a bit more, as the other officer, Officer Tieford. And, you know, I don't see any reason why Zoe would exaggerate, and she stated several days after this incident that she still had residual pain. This was called Aiki Jiu-Jitsu, which is a martial art technique for apprehending violent suspects. But, you know, a 110-pound female seated in a chair really doesn't need to be treated in that rough of a manner. So I would like to know where this Mr. Penn gets his facts when he says she was not hurt in any manner. How does he know that? Is he a medical technician? Is he an MD? Did he examine her? No. So I really question reporting that, and there's no statement from Zoe as to the extent of the injury. Frankly, I think if you take a young woman and twist her arm up hard, she's going to scream in pain. It's going to be real. And I find it rather offensive, in the same way that I find ethnic humor offensive, to be poking fun of a woman who's being subjected to any form of violence, even if it's not no one says he beat her up, but this was a violent maneuver. And it's a step on a steep slope when we start poking fun at women who are being subjected to violence, whether it be by officers or not. So really, I feel as though the paper owes an apology, really to all similarly situated people.
Yeah, you know, I think, Jeff, that not just the paper, we're not going to get an apology from the Good Times. Probably might even get response time, although I've started a letter to them, and I'm going to send it off to them. They have Good Times. You have to write them 8 days in advance in order to get in their publication. It's kind of a strange deal. I encourage people to write to the Good Times, write your own response as to what your thoughts are about the boycott issue, as well as about maybe, Jeff, you yourself will write something to them. My real concern, and probably your concern, is the police department and is the city council and are the courts going to tolerate this kind of abuse of basic civil rights? And I'm not talking about even Baker's pain compliance hold stuff or whatever he was doing to get or Tieford's use of that and Baker's supervision of that. But what went on here was, and again, I was tabling there for an hour or two before this happened. The table was placed next to Hippie Planter in a public area. It wasn't blocking anything, and had it been, you know, there were seven or eight police officers who walked by throughout the course of the afternoon. Instead, what what happened was Baker has apparently been doing some continuous videotaping. I don't know why he's spending public money doing this, but since it's supposed to be on private complaint by Matisse Silman that there was a blocking of the sidewalk. And on occasion, when there has been a crowd of people that's gathered for different reasons, not just for the table, it's a crowd there. And sometimes people have got to wend their way through, and that happens. And people say, can you move aside? And others, and people do move, so people can move. That happens in public spaces, and properly should, because people relate in public spaces. We aren't, you know, in an airport just going to and from destinations. It's not just for that purpose. It's for associating. For Baker to engage in a custodial arrest that creates a scene, that's what he was doing. He knew, of course, that I was going to point out. If he could have cited me and said, look, give me your driver's license, here's your ticket, sign it. I would have signed it, and that would have been that. I would have gone to court on it. But no, he used the fact that I was pointing out to people that he was doing this, and as he knew I would, because it's obviously an attack on tablers. We weren't blocking the sidewalk, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be shown in court. I don't go downtown to table to block the sidewalk. And also, he had more reasonable means to deal with it. He could have asked us to move, and he refused to do that because he was clearly intent on getting some kind of criminal charge leveled against us. He created this situation. There was no real probable cause for what he did. He is then charging, and well, you're going to hear it. Let me play for you this tape, which I was only charged with an infraction blocking the sidewalk. Zoe Joy Einbinder, was charged with false information, giving a false name. And the relevant point here is, I'm not going to comment on what name she gave. She had no warrants out. She's not a criminal. Who knows if she did this, and I'm not saying that she did or she didn't do this. I'm saying that in a situation where police are threatening you and she was passing through town.